Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Tuesday, April 12th, the NBA regular season is behind us. Playoffs and the play-in are here starting tonight with a pair of play-in games. But before we get to the play-in action, before we look towards the first round of the NBA playoffs, which you will hear about plenty from all three of us, the FTN Collective, both betting DFS, you name it, we'll cover it. We are here to talk about our All-NBA selections and our awards for the 2021-2022 season. I am Joe Metz, joined as always by my two co-hosts, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhi Eisenberg DFS, and Uncle Rico, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, we'll toss it to you first. You've been a busy man. Really happy to have you on for, I think, what's most of our favorite pod of the year.
Yeah, I miss you guys, man. been coaching some football.
Teaching the youths.
Yeah, man, like I told you guys before we hopped on the pod, the team that I coach, we have a tournament on Saturday, and they are playing in MetLife Stadium for the day. It's going to be really fun. And every time I tell somebody or talk about it, I joke that they will be the best football team to play in that stadium all season long, at least home team. Obviously, there'll be some road teams coming into MetLife. NBA season is over, and it's weird. And the madness from April, at least for, you know, players resting and all that stuff is over. And now we get to focus on, I guess not the playoffs quite yet, but the play-in where the Cavs are playing. It's weird.
The Cavs aren't the only team playing in the play-in. Mr. Zach Graham, San Antonio Spurs.
I tried to hide it. I tried to let it go.
Zach, your face is in your palm as we speak. What's going through your mind? How are you? Are you excited for the NBA playoffs?
Playoffs, yes. What's going through my mind is, please lose on Wednesday. Like, I would prefer at this point, you know, we've done the Lakers are dust. We sent them home. That was great. Now stop fucking around and throwing ping pong balls into the dumpster. Let's try to get the highest pick we possibly can. Because ultimately, if you want to try to get trade up into that top three, if you don't hit in the lottery, the higher the pick, the better, you know, to package with those other two that they got. But try to keep the Spurs talk to a minimum here, because I'm very excited to get to our award ballots that we did today. Oh, yeah. I'm the only one. I tabulated the votes from us three. You guys don't know what we ended up choosing. I think outside of some that we've discussed at length on the pod where there's no surprise, you know, I think MVP.
Sixth man of the year. That's another one.
Yeah, things like that. But I think we'll have some surprising, maybe eyebrow-raising results as well for our official FTN NBA podcast NBA ballot. So I'm excited to get into it.
As am I. So let's, without further ado, let's jump right into it with a disclaimer first. So we're going through all NBA teams, which should we do before awards or after? Probably after awards.
Yeah, let's do awards, then teams, okay. And then our fun categories.
Yeah, so we're going to go through all the awards. MVP, Most Improved, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Coach of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. And then we are going our three All-NBA teams, first, second, and third. And then we are going first team All-Defense, second team All-Defense. And then we are going to go into two separate made-up adjunct categories on behalf of us. Mm-hmm. Most disappointing player this season. Mm-hmm. And this is from a basketball standpoint, not fantasy, not betting. Yeah. This is from a basketball standpoint. And the player who overperformed the most relative to their contract, not overperform mm-hmm. like we expect regression next year, but the one who offered the most bang for their buck, the most per dollar value for their team relative to their contract. And the caveat that you, Zach, called out when we were chatting earlier, we are – excluding players on rookie contracts because it is so like it's so easy for them to overperform.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton would be a perfect example. Someone like that. So let's jump right in. Do you guys want to start at the top with MVP? Where do you want to start?
I feel like we can just go down the list, right? Okay. I don't think we're not, especially with MVP, because I've you know, kind of said earlier that there's some unanimous ones here. And I'll just go ahead and get into it. We were unanimous on the MVP winner being Nikola Jokic. Three first place votes from your podcast hosts. And then it was close, I guess, unsurprising, thinking about the fandom of our fearless leader here, Mr. Joe Metz. Joel Embiid did edge out Giannis Antetokounmpo for the second spot. And then Giannis third. And for what it's worth, Luka Doncic did grab that fourth spot. It was...
Was it a mess of people or not?
I think it was Booker. Yes, it was Booker who got a point and a half because Adam split his fifth place vote between Devin Booker and Jason Tatum, which is fair.
Yeah, and real quick, Booker gets the edge.
Sure.
But I wanted to give Tatum a shout out because we talked about the Celtics so much in this podcast, especially early in the year, how much they struggled, and then they just flipped the switch and have been unbelievable, and Tatum's obviously been the catalyst. So,
yeah, and then Ja did pick up a point. Joe, I believe you gave him the fifth place vote. And again, fair. All of those guys in the conversation.
It just kind of shows how littered we are with top-end talent in the NBA right now.
Exactly. And, like, I think there's that clear trio up top, and if Luka didn't come into the season so out of shape and having to play his way into the form that we saw over the last couple of months, I think he would have been in the mix. But those other three just had amazing seasons. And, like, I think I've been very vocal about it's Jokic over Embiid and it's no contest. It's not a knock on Embiid's season. And I think you could probably go back throughout the last 20 years or so, and there would be like four or five seasons where Embiid would be the undisputed MVP in that season. Like, it just so happened that Jokic also had like a historical season this year and was a little bit more impressive, obviously, to all three of us over Embiid.
Sure. The only difference is I had Embiid third, and this is legit putting I'm doing my best to put my fandom aside.
Sure.
Because for a large part of the season, I thought Joel Embiid was the runaway favorite. I think we saw Giannis go on a tear before he missed a few games, I'd say 14 to 21 days ago. The pinnacle of that tear, back-to-back 40-point games against, at the time, the Nets and who they were tied in record with, the Sixers. Two playoff atmosphere games. I'm not going to say Kevin Durant is an MVP contender, MVP caliber player. And Embiid, very well at the time, was like the 2A to Giannis's 2B in the MVP standings. Not only does he drop 40 on both teams, he makes an incredible impact defensively, highlighted by that game sealing block at the rim on Joel Embiid, the player ahead of you in the MVP standings. That, to me, just shows Giannis, more than any of these other players, is going to go out and challenge you at both ends of the court and show you that you can't stop him on either end of the court. Your MVP cannot stop him. Your MVP cannot score on him. To me, if Jokic wasn't having just an absurdly historic season, I think Giannis should deservedly be the runaway MVP favorite. I applaud the season Embiid had. I'm not going to go into the amount of free throws because I don't like those hypotheticals. It's the same thing as saying if Steph Curry couldn't shoot threes. It's part of the game of basketball. And Giannis's efficiency, the lack of efficiency is my biggest knock on Embiid, if anything else. Like,
sure.
You are a center and you a dominant center at that. And you have how many games shooting sub 40% from the field?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of alarming and an outlier. Obviously, is impact isn't affected by it, but still, I think it's somewhere where I edge out Giannis over Embiid. But I like, this is not to discount the season that Embiid had. It was his best season of his career.
Yeah.
Remarkable basketball. He scoring machine, rebounding machine. He had really for 67% of the season put this team on his back and his back alone.
Yeah, and I think the gap between Jokic and Embiid for me is much wider than the gap between Embiid and Giannis, at least in that's how fair.
Okay.
You know, if I could give like decimal point votes, that, you know, just to kind of illustrate how I was thinking about it. But I don't know, Adam, like, anything to add there? Was anybody, I guess, were you kind of in lockstep with us on Embiid and Giannis? Because you and I voted, our top three were the same. Joe obviously was the one who put Giannis over Embiid.
Yeah, like we obviously had the same top three, but for me, like, I think for me personally, Embiid and Jokic was a lot closer than you guys might have had it. I just, like, Jokic is obviously, like, to have a season to statistically and everything better than he did last year when he won MVP is just insane. Remarkable. In itself. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, like, to do what he's done for that team without Michael Porter Jr., without Jamal Murray, he's just unbelievable. But, like, it's weird. Like, I have Jokic. I project him to win. I expect him to win. But I kind of hope Embiid wins because, like, scoring champion, I believe he's the first center to win the scoring title since Shaq, the fourth since like 1976. It's been incredible to watch. And yeah, people say he gets the foul line a lot and maybe too much, but like at the end of the day, that is a skill too. Like Embiid does the swim move thing where a defender reaches in and he draws the foul. I mean, like on the season, like 22%, he's drawing a shooting foul on like 23% of his field goal attempts. It's insane. And obviously defensively, his impact is, you know, he's a top tier defensive player as well. And yes, some people will argue that Sixers have had more talent around him than Jokic has had, which is totally fair. But the situation wasn't easy for Embiid with the Ben Simmons situation all at the beginning of the first half of the season. Obviously, Tyrese Maxey stepping up in his second year is huge. I do expect Jokic to win. But I also think, for me personally, Jokic and Embiid is a lot closer than you guys might have it. And then, Giannis is third for me. But, like, if any of these three players win, I'll just be like, yeah, that makes sense. They're having incredible seasons. Mm-hmm. They're three of the five best players in basketball. And it's, again, Joe mentioned it. It's just insane the amount of talent we have. You look at Luka's numbers and what he's done. Dallas is, what, fourth, third in the West with that team after trading Porzingis? Like, I know Brunson and Dinwiddie have been good, but, like, maybe in any other year, Luka Doncic is the runaway favorite. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, and Devin Booker's had a great year, obviously. Phoenix is the top team in the NBA. But, like, when I see people talking about, everybody's talking about Embiid and Giannis and Jokic, why not? Devin Booker is not even close to these three players for MVP. Yeah. Let's be honest. I understand he's an awesome player on the best team in basketball. Again, that's not the best team in basketball solely because of Devin Booker. They have one of the five best point guards ever. They have the coach of the year candidate, and they have another player we'll talk about who makes a huge impact, I'm sure, later, DeAndre Ayton. Like, he's not even close to them. It's Embiid, it's Jokic, it's Giannis. Whoever wins, I'll be happy. But I might be a little bit more happy. I'd love to see Embiid win. I think it'd be fun. Maybe it's the recency bias. Jokic won last year, Giannis did 2 years before. But whoever wins deserves it. Amazing seasons.
Yeah, I agree. The biggest knock I've been seeing on Jokic over, you know, these days without basketball, NBA Twitter has so much built-up hate in their heart.
Yeah.
And Jokic is currently, like, a massive recipient of it. Everything regarding the fact that the last six seed to win an MVP was Russell Westbrook, who I think many people agree is probably the most, I don't want to say fraudulent MVP, but worst MVP in the last 25 plus years. Most misplaced, maybe, but the guy averaged for the first time. That was the first year someone averaged a triple double since, what, Oscar Robertson, I believe.
Yep.
But I think what people fail to realize, one, sure, six seed in the West is meh. Guy won 49 games without his two best players around him. And the rest of his team was dealing with injuries for quite some time. Like, they lost very early in the season, a bright spot in PJ Dozier, who obviously isn't going to step in and take on a 15.7 assist role guard, but he was a very good, impactful young defender. Monty Morris has been their starting point guard for most of the year. Aaron Gordon has been pretty erratic and volatile in terms of production. They've struggled with their backup center.
I mean, let's just get right to it, Joe. They're relying on 30 plus minutes a game from Jeff Green. There you go. And I like Jokic, Jeff Green, but he's 35.
The Nuggets,
like,
didn't win 48 games. Nikola Jokic won 48 games. Like, this team would I think you could argue probably be the number three seed in the West had they been healthy all season.
And there's a reason teams are terrified of any chance. I know. I think I saw Jamal Murray probably won't be back for the playoffs, but there's a reason teams were terrified of that possibly happening because
correct.
We've seen what this team can do at full strength.
So my view, like what people are spinning as a knock against Jokic, I see as an incredible positive. The fact that he won nearly 50 games, given the talent on the rest of his team.
Well, and he's setting all kinds of records too. Like, didn't he? I believe he just recently set the record for, well, not just the like stat club that he started, yeah, right? Because you can do that for a lot of guys. Like DeJounte Murray was like the first guy to average like 29, 8, and 2 steals or something. Like,
yeah,
that's just, but he's the first player to ever have 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists,
which is incredible,
remarkable.
But the stat that I heard, and I think it was Russillo that was talking about it, but I think Jokic set the record for like on off like plus minus. Like his team is, by far in history, the best player.
Like when he's off the floor, they're like the worst basketball team of all time. Like, essentially.
And like above average when he's on the court at worst. I believe it was plus minus that he set the record in. I think Adam made like put it the best, where it's like if any three of those, all three of those top guys are deserving. If Embiid won it or Giannis won it, I would feel bad for Jokic because I think he deserves it. I think he's just a step above those other two, but they're all so great.
Yeah. So moving on now, and because of how much top end talent there is, and how many players have a case to be the MVP, that for me as a voter, you know, a hypothetical voter in this scenario, kind of altered my selections for the other picks. So we'll get into that more, but let's move on from MVP. Do you want to go? What was the second on the list? Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Yep. This is a quick unanimous.
Damn right it is.
Let's just get it out of the way. Go for it.
It was unanimous. All three first place votes went to Evan Mobley. All three second place votes went to Scottie Barnes, and Cade got all three. Cade Cunningham that has got all three third place votes. So this is a quick coronation of Adam's boy. So I'll throw it to Uncle Rico to talk about the rookie of the year.
Yeah, and if this season lasted about two more months, Jalen Green might make the run. Because
if this season lasted two more months, Cade Cunningham would win it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but this rookie class is stupid. I mean, the three we have on the list we talked about, Josh Giddey, Jalen Green, Ayu Dosunmu, it's stupid. Herb Jones. Mobley, I talked about it at length, like the impact he's had for this team. I personally think I was on stream with David Jones for NBA last week, and we were talking about, it was Mobley's first game back. It was the Brooklyn game. And I talked about like their defense has been bad the second half of the season, but I personally think Mobley's already a top 10 defensive player in basketball. I truly believe that. And we saw that obviously Jared Allen impacted it too, but just to come in as a rookie, and we were a little bit unsure what that lineup would look like with, you know, Mobley and Jared Allen at the 5 and 4, and then Laurie at the 3, and it was a great lineup. And then Mobley, the only thing he needs to add, just if he gets a little bit more size to him, a little bit more strength and more polish offensively, he's going to be the comparisons we saw coming out of USC, the Chris Bosh compare, like they're all going to be there. I'm not saying he's going to be Chris Bosh or Tim Duncan, but Zach, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, he's not Tim Duncan. He's not going to be Tim Duncan, but we haven't seen rookies impact winning like this very often. Usually we see these rookie of the years on teams that win 20, 25 games. So what he's done defensively, the connection he has with Darius Garland and everything, I just think, and again, there's been stretches where Scottie Barnes has been the best rookie in basketball. Stretches where Cade Cunningham's probably been the best rookie in basketball. Jalen Green's probably been the best rookie in basketball the last 2 weeks. But the consistent all year long has been Evan Mobley. Not surprising. He's my vote. But it's similar to MVP. A little bit dissimilar. If somebody outside of Mobley wins, I'll be pissed. But the future of the league is awesome with not just these three, but everybody else from this rookie class.
Jalen Green, Josh Giddey, yeah, all these
Herb
guys.
Jones.
Davion Mitchell. Yeah.
One guy we didn't even mention, Jalen Suggs. Yep. We didn't even mention his name out of all that. Like, Adam just rattled off like 10 great
Franz
rookies.
Wagner.
I was going to say, Franz Wagner had like a 10-day stretch at the beginning of the season.
Sure did.
Like, is he going to be rookie of the year?
Yeah. Go on.
I was gonna say I think it's a clear tier of those two, right? Like there were big warts, for lack of a better term, on Cade and Jaylen and all those guys. Scotty and Mobley were just so solid and contributing to not just winning teams, but I guess I'll knock
surprising.
On I'll knock on wood with the Cavs, winning teams, hopefully playoff teams.
And on top of that, teams that you come into the season, they were supposed to be rebuilding. They're not supposed to be good. Yeah. And these teams are both well above 500.
Cleveland's, I think Cleveland's preseason over under for wins was like 30. They won 44, I believe, 30, after yesterday.
Wow. And yeah, I think the Raptors, I believe, was 34.5. So
yeah, not and they obviously higher. Shattered that. They got as high as what, the fifth seed in the East.
Like, my big thing with rookie of the year, like we saw, like to your both of your points, there were so many pockets this season where different players looked like by far and away the best rookie. Like Jalen
Green had that stretch where he kept triple doubling.
Giddy had that stretch. I think before Jalen Green for the last month, Cade Cunningham has been phenomenal. But my thing is, one, Cade Cunningham didn't start the season until like 2 months in. He was also pretty bad from an efficiency standpoint when he first
couldn't shoot.
Like he couldn't do anything offensively. Where like this is a season long award. There's absolutely no reason why it should not go Evan Mobley than Scottie Barnes. Start to finish, these two have been nothing but great. So let's move on. Defensive player of the year. This is one where I bet there will be a decent amount of parity.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Rudy Gobert. That's my like mantra in life. Not actually, but this is the first year for me where Rudy Gobert was on a top three defensive player of the year vote getter for me. So with that, I will pass it to Zach because I'm very curious these results. And this follows up what I said earlier about the way the MVP shook out. I had to give people flowers elsewhere.
Yeah, this was maybe the most fun category when I was tallying up the votes. Actually, and I think maybe when I was deciding who I was going to vote for. Because right now, I believe the Vegas odds are heavily in favor of Marcus Smart.
They are.
And my winner on my ballot ended up being the winner of our vote tally. McCall Bridges is our defensive player.
Let's go.
Yeah, Adam also had him.
He was third for me.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listened to this pod or any of our streams knows, huge Bridges fan right here. Love Michael Bridges.
And
he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA.
He's so good.
I think there's, for me, a little bit of it. Like, he got a boost for being on the Suns. Like,
sure.
I want to reward the teams that...
I think Smart did, too, for Boston.
Yeah. Well, and so I voted Bam second because I think he and Marcus Smart are very close, and I have no issue with somebody putting Smart over Bam.
Zach, I'm assuming you have everything in front of you, right?
I do.
Did I have Bam second or third?
You had Bridges, Bam, Smart. So we actually, you and I were in lockstep there. And Joe's was...
Mine was a little different. I went Giannis, Jaren Jackson, Mikal Bridges. Smart was a slight fourth for me.
But like,
Go ahead,
Joe.
I just like... The only thing holding Jaren Jackson back from being defensive player of the year is the fact that he can't stop fouling.
Yeah, like, that's part of it. Really, too, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, hey, maybe he's sending poor free throw shooters to the line as a strategic means of defense. Like, great, good job.
Every single game,
correct. Led the league with 2.3 blocks per game. One of the best rim protectors in basketball. Also averaged a steal per game. He's doing like he hasn't. He has not played more than 30 minutes per game in his NBA career. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at his per 36 minutes, he's averaging 3 blocks over a steal per game, 7.7 defensive rebounds. Like, I haven't dug into defensive rating or, like, opponent field goal percentage allowed when him being the closest defender, but, like, he is a phenomenal defender. And look at how good Memphis has been on that side of the ball this year. He's been a bigger presence down low defensively for much of the season than Steven Adams has. Steven Adams being the big body, but he's not the shot-altering big that Jaren Jackson is. So I think when I'm looking at all these awards, like for me, Jaren Jackson being my second vote getter for Defensive Player of the Year was another way to give Memphis their flowers, where there's a chance Memphis walks away with zero individual awards. A chance. I don't think they will, but there is a chance. And because of that, I think that's a disservice to the season they had. So that was me giving Jaren Jackson some flowers. And Giannis is my Defensive Player of the Year. This is what I kind of alluded to earlier, saying like I needed to kind of compensate elsewhere. I think voter fatigue will get to Giannis for potentially both of the awards, but like there is not a player in the NBA that tries as hard as Giannis, respective to their caliber of player they are to their team.
I was gonna say Paul Reed tries. He tries Jose, really hard.
Jose Alvarado tries very hard. But when like a player of Giannis's caliber, it's so easy for them to just, you know what, I'm taking this play off, I'll catch an alley oop, but they don't, like, cough cough LeBron James. Well, I mean, Giannis is better than LeBron right now, but we can get into that later. But
why would we get into that?
Why would we get into that later? It's just a fact.
And you're talking you're talking to the most, you know, that the LeBron fan here. Like, why would we get into that?
Right. But again, Giannis, you know, over he's having 2.5 stocks per game, nearly 10 defensive rebounds per game, one of the best defenders in the NBA from a defensive rating standpoint. And there's two other aspects that you can't necessarily kind of quantify, but the timeliness of his defensive plays, and I'll reference that Embiid block again. I'll reference the block on DeAndre Ayton in the finals last season. Not that it's relative to this season, but just kind of furthers the point. And on top of that is the versatility. How many guys in the league can guard 1 through 5? Giannis can, effectively.
Bam.
Like there are, I say Giannis and Bam. Those are the two players in the league that I can confidently say can guard 1 through 5 effectively. LeBron, a fringe third. Health being the main detriment here, but like, he is by far the most versatile player in the NBA, especially on the defensive end, and he needs to be rewarded for that.
So obviously I can't disagree with any argument about Giannis and his defensive versatility, but the versatility of Mikal Bridges was something that actually pushed him over the top for me. And I was mostly comparing him and Marcus Smart because I thought they would defend kind of, you know, like similar caliber of players, certainly similar positions. Like a lot of the times those guys aren't primarily guarding five men unless they're switched onto him. And I think both Bridges and Smart can hold their own pound for pound against, you know, 1 through 5. They won't be as successful as somebody like Giannis or somebody like Bam against those front court players. But you look at Marcus Smart this year and the top players he's guarded in terms of just time on the court, it's Evan Fournier, Chris Middleton, Trey Young, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, Seth Curry, Fred VanVleet. Those are the top seven. If I go over to Mikal Bridges' defensive assignments for this season, his top seven are Damian Lillard, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Green, James Harden, DeJounte Murray, Steph Curry, and Trey Young. He's guarding not just all-stars, Hall of Famers. Every night that there is one, it's Mikal Bridges' assignment. And so for me, that got him – that combined with the Phoenix success all year, because
the thing that
made it hard for me to get Chris Paul onto certain votes where maybe he has been in the past, you're all NBAs, you're all defense, Devin Booker up into that top four, or even considering him in the fifth spot for MVP, is that that team continued to have extreme success without Chris Paul, without Devin Booker, without DeAndre. And they were missing these guys for extended periods all throughout the season. And Mikal Bridges was the guy that was there the whole time. And so Mikal Bridges for me was kind of surprisingly, I didn't go into this thinking that I was going to put him first, but that's how it ended up for me.
Yeah, for me, I knew it was going to be between Bridges and Bam. Mm-hmm. And I love Bam. I love Bridges. What really, we didn't even talk about yet, what really was the tiebreaker for me, the guy missed 0 games. Mikal Bridges played every game this season.
He did it playing 35 minutes a game.
Yep, and he's right. And like Zach said, the players he's guarding on a nightly basis playing 35 minutes a game, not sitting out an entire game. It's just been ridiculous. I was looking at a bunch of stats over at NBA.com. He has this season he averaged about 4 contested 3-point shots per game. That was top 10 in the league. Like he's just everywhere. Like his, you know, he's always on the floor. He's everywhere on defense. He's guarding, you know, the best players. He's anchoring the best or one of the five best defensive teams in basketball. Like for me, he's still for some reason, like one of the best kept secrets in basketball, despite playing on a team that's been what that's won more games than anybody in basketball the last 2 years. I just think it's time we really, really realize how good Mikal Bridges is, not just defensively. I know this is Defensive Player of the Year award, but like all pretty much all, you know, facets of the game. So I think Bam will win one before he's done playing, but I give the edge to Bridges. He's played every game. This will be, I believe, the first time, if it happens, of course, that a guard has won the award since Gary Payton in like the mid 90s.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty
cool.
It's
interesting
too,
though, because I would call, and I saw you list him as a guard, maybe in one of the later categories, Adam.
He's a forward.
Forward.
But either way, like a non.
I have him as a forward as well.
Right. A non center. This will be the first time a non center is one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And speaking of Bam.
Right.
Bam played 56 games this year. He literally just made the cut for eligibility.
56 is the number. Yeah, 56 is the number. So it was Bridget for us. It was Bridges, Bam, Giannis in terms of the votes, and others receiving votes were Jaren Jackson and Marcus Smart.
Okay, cool. So let's move on then. Another big one, most improved player. And this one has caused some controversy.
This
podcast,
one was tough.
As well as on social media throughout NBA Twitter. And the biggest conversation has been essentially, can you be too good to be the most improved player? Because if you can't, Ja Morant runs away with the award, right? But when
he's, I'm assuming he's still the huge betting favorite.
Dude, he's like minus 4,000. Like,
so I saw 10,000.
So that'd be like, a yes.
Yeah. I saw minus 10,000.
Like, this is by far the heaviest favorite of any award.
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
He was minus 1,000.
I don't think I think him being the favorite's fine. That's a little much. I mean, there are some really good candidates for this award.
I agree. And obviously, betting markets are not the end all be all. They do obviously typically indicate the winner. But like Defensive Player of the Year is another where I don't necessarily think Marcus Smart's the favorite to win. So I think there's value if you're listening to this and looking for a bet. Actually, never mind. The books took the award props down. I just remember that. But to my point, like, can you be too good to win Most Improved Player? I don't know. So we're going to give it to Zach and he's going to tally the votes and see what we think.
Yeah. So we had just kind of a tier of two guys here. In the most improved player category, and it was Ja Morant barely edging out Darius Garland for most improved player. And then we had a three-way tie for third, one vote each for DeJounte Murray, Tyrese Maxey, and Jordan Poole.
You guys are sleeping on Jordan Poole.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this award, there's so many players, and I didn't have Jordan Poole on my list because I had Maxey over him. Like, Tyrese Maxey, I think, deserves this award as much as almost anybody.
I think
like
eight players in the NBA right now. Desmond Bane's another one. Miles Bridges. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many.
I mean, I joke about it. Like, I joke around saying Tyrese Maxey is the second best player in that team. But, like, as Zach he makes that face. Like, he's
not the hooper that James Harden is. I mean, we can let Zach guy.
He's shooting like 48% from three since the All-Star break. And this
because
is
of James
like,
Harden.
Yeah, but he was shooting like his three-point percentage from last season was way up when the season started. Like, it was a clear, noticeable difference. Without him, I don't know where that team is. I know Embiid's the MVP like candidate still. He's been amazing, but like Tyrese Maxey's been unbelievable. I struggle between Garland and Ja for one and two. I voted Garland. I'm Ja's gonna win this award, but I already viewed Ja as a borderline superstar.
Ja is a superstar, but that's the problem.
Garland's become one of the legitimate best point guards of basketball this year. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm biased, but I'm sure you guys would agree. Like, he has been, he has been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, we both had him second. He's right there for me.
Yeah,
he is. And like for me, and again, like I do think there needs to be. I don't know how how they can establish this baseline, but like a player can't be this good and win Most Improved Player. But at the same time,
like, you want like a 16-point per game player to win the award,
right? Basically, like, right? There are two people who have, I think, made the most valid points against Ja Morant. It's Mike, one of my best friends who's been on the podcast, and Draymond Green being the other one. Like,
also Draymond Green, we talk about how he loves, like, there's players he loves talking about. He I believe he said Mikal Bridges should be defensive player of the year too.
So. He said, and he said Jordan Poole is most improved player. Which is a
little, what team does he play for?
I get it. Shut up. but to my point, like, you know, Mike brings up a good point, and he had on the podcast that, like, Ja Morant's improvements, when you are this talented, this can be considered like the natural progression of his NBA career. I don't disagree with that. What I disagree with being unnatural is the fact that he's averaging 8.3 more points per game after averaging over 19 points per game last year. He's shooting 4.1% better from three. He's shooting almost 5% better from the field. All of this on exponentially more volume. He's averaging almost two more rebounds per game. He's averaging a shade under an assist less per game, more steals per game. Granted, he has only played 57 games. We know he's been in and out of the lineup quite a bit. But with all of this added volume,
I just realized he played 57. Wow, that was
right.
That was close.
Astronomical uptick in touches. He's not averaging more turnovers per game. He's not turning the ball over either. Like, sure, he's surrounded by a lot of talent, but he has been the engine that drives his team. Like, he is literally averaging 27.4 points per game after not having averaged 20 per game in his career. Like, I just, like, this is the progression of his career, but this type of leap to me is very unnatural, and that's why he deserves most improved player. Also because, like, any other season when there's not these historic runs ahead of him, he is a top three MVP candidate with these numbers.
Is he?
I do. Well, I think the big knock, if he, say hypothetically, Jokic didn't have this season or Embiid, I think the big knock against Ja Morant, that would be the fact that he only played 57 games.
Well, their record without him, too.
That's the biggest factor for me.
That doesn't help.
What are they, 17-3 or something?
They are insane without him.
It might be 18-3.
I don't want to go off with too much on a tangent because we have a lot to get to. We see this a lot with teams where their best players out and they still, mostly in basketball, obviously, but it's like, is it just because they know they have to play harder?
There's a lot of cohesion. And I think then a lot of that showcases how good of a coach Taylor Jenkins is.
Yep.
When you, a lot less of your offense is, hey, give it to Ja Morant, let him do his thing. It's now, okay, we need to draw things up to get Desmond Bane open off a screen from three.
Right. I thought about this when doing MVP stuff. Like, as great as Ja is, even to put him, like I would, if Ja has played, say Ja played 72 games this year or 70 games, whatever, I would probably still have Luka over him just because of their record without him. Well, that would make sense, obviously, but you get where I'm
going. I understand.
Right. He's unbelievable.
We hit on Darius Garland, we hit on Ja. So you talked about Tyrese Maxey. Zach, who is your third again?
I had DeJounte. It was a homer pick.
Okay, that's fair.
We didn't even talk about DeJounte. Yeah, like, I struggled to not have him in my top three. Like,
yeah. So he was four for me.
You want to talk about being the catalyst for a team? Like, did he lead them in every statistical? No, he didn't lead them in rebounding yet. He was
that would be Poeltl.
He was probably right behind Poeltl though.
Yeah,
points, assists, steals. I'm sure he obviously touches and stuff like that. So, what else? Sixth man of the year. I think this is another consensus runaway for the winner. We can all agree it's Tyler Hero, Zach, right?
Yeah. So Hero was unanimous.
Curious about two and three though.
So
there's a bit of a drop. There's a massive drop off.
Yes. Here.
So in our total voting tabulation here, Kevin Love is second.
Okay.
I had Kevin Love third.
So did I.
I had Jordan Poole second. And I know
I think Jordan Poole started games.
But so here's the thing: if they were healthy,
right,
which they have been pretty, you know, obviously with Steph out, he's gotten back into the lineup. But if things went according to plan, he gets a lot closer to that.
Yeah, but Zach,
okay, Joe.
He started 54 of 76 games.
Yeah, and Tyler Hero played like 500 more minutes.
If he came off the bench, doesn't matter.
But I don't care about that.
Jordan Poole's not a sixth man now.
But he is on when that team is fully healthy. Hero is not the sixth man with Miami when they're not fully healthy, but they've been more healthy in the backcourt.
They still take him off the bench when they're missing.
That's what I'm saying. That's Spoelstra's decision, and Steve Kerr doesn't.
Because he's a true sixth man. Right.
And Joe, I voted Tyler Hero. But Jordan Poole, if the Warriors were healthy, would be far and away the best sixth man.
I don't even think it's close either.
Just because the Heat can't score, to me, doesn't mean that Tyler Hero is sixth man of the year by circumstance, by luck. And he's very, like, I'm not knocking him. Wow. He's a good player, all this stuff.
I know what Zach's saying.
If
Jordan Poole, this is what Zach's saying.
Tyler Hero disrespect.
This is what Zach's saying. If Jordan Poole and Tyler Hero both started the same number of games and came off the bench the rest, say they both started 20 games this year and then came off, I think Jordan Poole would have a much better season than Tyler Hero.
So would you, okay, going forward on your team, would you rather have Jordan Poole or Tyler Hero?
Jordan Poole.
I'd go Tyler Hero, but it's
I like Jordan Poole,
but that's
a lot.
To my point. He is both, not hey, a six man say, type of player.
Both of these guys from the heart of the country, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Look, so he.
So sorry, go ahead. So you had.
I would say he reminds second. Me of. Yeah, I had Poole second, Love third.
Okay.
And like
Kevin
Love
fell
is,
off. He fell off like, so hard. His minutes were stupid though. Like. He would play games where
as soon as marketing came back. That's
yeah, he would have games where he plays 28, and then he'd have games where he plays 16.
And LeVert coming back didn't help him either.
Can we can we just for a second talk about Kevin Love's game yesterday?
Oh my goodness.
32 and 10 in 14 minutes, 8 and 11 from 3. I understand.
By the way, Joe, thank you for resting everybody yesterday.
I should be thanking you. I should be thanking you. We're about to get the Bulls in the first round. But Kevin Love's game yesterday was nuts. Minutes fluctuate, but like to our point earlier about there being a massive drop off, like before the market closed, pretty sure Kelly Oubre was the second.
Yeah, it's favorite that's ridiculous. Award.
He was almost phased out of the rotation entirely a month ago.
Another reason why I think Jordan Poole for me just like qualifies, even though he only came off the bench like 20 something games, like.
I mean, for me, like, because of the drop-off, because of Kevin Love's drop-off, like, second was a very clear Jordan Clarkson for me.
Yeah. That's what's interesting is, like, well, and Adam, breaking the rules.
And Jordan Clarkson had a bad year, too.
Adam only listed Hero and Love. He did not give us a third. Well, so we're short a point here.
Yeah, sorry about that. can I just put Lou Williams in? Just cause.
Yeah, why not? Just cause. For shits and giggles there. But so yeah, Clarkson and Poole were tied for third in terms of points in our voting.
Got it. So last individual award, coach of the year. This is one that was actually kind of tough for me.
It's two coaches, right?
I have three. It's like a 1A, 1B, and then a 3.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Exactly.
And I think the three we're thinking of might be the same, but I actually think there could be a discrepancy. So I'll let Zach take it away.
Yeah. So we did. This was unanimous, as it should be. Monty Williams, coach of the year. Yeah. All
I just
nine
hate,
points.
Like, I just feel like I'm disrespecting Taylor Jenkins by doing that.
I don't.
But
think
Monty
that,
Williams
think
set a franchise record for wins. This team dominated the NBA from start to finish. No mm-hmm. matter who they had on the court. Like, they were without Chris Paul for a length of time, Devin Booker for a length of time, Cam Johnson. And a lot of those times coincided with each other.
Paul and Johnson were both out together for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, now, they're eight games clear of the rest of the league. 11 games clear of the entire East.
I mean, that is
– It's tough to ignore. As great of a job as Taylor Jenkins has done, that's so tough to ignore.
The fact that he didn't win the award last year – almost adds fuel to this fire. Like I don't think Tom Thibodeau should have won last year. Tom Thibodeau might not have a job next year,
mm-hmm.
but I like after the last two seasons, really Monty Williams needs some flowers. Like this is just an unbelievable job he's done for this team in the last 24 months.
Yeah. Taylor Jenkins was second in our
the aforementioned well, right? 1A, 1B.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually went a different way with my second place.
Who'd you go? Spoelstra?
I gave it to Spo. Okay. Just kind of rewarding. Third. I mean, they held off. Like, I think 3-4 weeks ago, I know I would have said I thought Miami was going to lose the one seed. And especially, like, I had questions, like I think a lot of people did, after the Jimmy Butler, Spo, Haslam thing.
Yeah.
And then they, like, reeled off, like, 7 straight wins after that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Spo just, like, kind of... His body of work over the last decade obviously is great.
One of the best coaches in the league.
What he did with this team, with all the personalities, a lot of the star guys kind of aging, managing Harrow off the bench. Lowry was out for like four or five different things it felt like this year. A couple personal issues.
Bam, clearly, 56 games, barely qualified for anything. Like,
exactly. Jimmy is questionable every game. And they had other, you know,
Caleb Martin, by the way. It's him and Jimmy Butler every single game.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is also like Gabe Vincent missed time, Strus missed time, Duncan. Like, Deadman. Literally, there's not a single player on the team that missed less than five games, probably.
I would think so. I mean, it was just I thought, you know, I wanted to reward him for in that Eastern Conference that those top four teams were separated by only two games. Yeah. The fact that they maintained that top spot for so long and closed it out to me just gave him the edge over Taylor Jenkins. But Jenkins, like, it's no knock on Taylor Jenkins. He was my third place vote.
So was I the only one with a different player?
Spo was third for me.
Yeah.
So I had JB Bickerstaff third.
Yeah. Which it would be my fourth. So
yeah. And that was more so to get Bronny points with Adam, but also
but in all seriousness.
But also like they came in like listen, he's a 30.5 projected wins and now they are
Not even just that. Like, there has not been a team with more injury misfortune than Cleveland. Yeah. I'm sorry, hasn't. Sexton's missed the whole year. Rubio was a key part of that team. He went down. They obviously made the trade. LeVert joins. Hurts gets his ankle stepped on or his foot stepped on in practice, misses like a week and a half. Mobley just came back. Obviously, they've been out Jared Allen. Laurie's missed like 20 games.
Yep.
Rondo's like it's not even just like the star players. It's been
Their top key rotational pieces.
Yeah, Garland obviously had the back for a lot of the season, and you look at it, Cleveland's without these three players tonight, and you look at the scoreboard and they're just still in the games.
Didn't they start Kevin Pangos one game?
Very early, yeah. There was Brandon Goodwin games we saw. There was Rondo games we saw. You
know, while we're on the topic, Adam, I need an explanation here. I took Cavs plus 8.5 when they played the Nets 2 games ago.
I know, you tweeted me. I ignored it.
Oh, I know. And the third quarter, they're up 21 or something, and they didn't fucking cover? Like, what's going on, man? Not JV Bickerstaff's fault.
No, it's I mean,
but they, like, there's a ton of good.
I think Garland, Mobley, Allen, and LeVert, the four of them have played like 3 or 4 games together.
That might even be generous, to be honest.
Right, because it's so like again, and I always see on Twitter, Cavs fans after a loss, while they're so depleted, are like, "This season's a mess. We should have been." No, the third seed. I'm like, first of all, we're playing with house
money. Massive winner. Are you kidding?
We're playing with house money, and our young players are getting whether you like the plan or not. It's pretty comparable to playoff experience. This game on Tuesday and the next game, whatever. And then your core of Garland, Mobley, Allen. None of those players are even 25 yet. It's insane. So yeah, he's easily my fourth. It's just hard. It's very difficult to put him obviously in the top three with Monty Williams, Spoelstra, and Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah. My honorable mention that I just wanted to bring up before we move on is Ime Udoka. You know, they were so bad for the first half of the season. Like, I think that's what just he had no shot to really be in this top three, but they've been so good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was Ime or any of his assistants that really made those key defensive adjustments that we covered a couple months ago on the pod when they started making this run. But he and his staff have done a great job through the second half to put Boston in the 2 seed.
Yeah.
They were. I mean, just a couple months ago, they were like eighth, ninth.
Like, I mean, people were discussing like, who's Boston trading? Tatum or Brown?
Right.
Exactly. Like, and now it's like, can't trade those guys.
Yeah. So let's move on now to the team portion. And we'll go through this a bit quicker than we went through the awards. Yeah. Let's go first, second, third team on me, and then go to defensive team, and then we'll go to our makeshift awards. Before you list them off, let's get the disclaimer out of the way that we talked about prior. I think I was the only one that voted with the understanding that the NBA is allowing Jokic and Embiid to be on the first team this year, right? Yeah. You guys didn't?
I mean, okay. I know we talked about it last week, Joe, right? I think with Dello talking about how they made that change. I did not approach it that way. I was wishy-washy on that pod last week about, like, would I vote that way? Would I? Because, like, there's the weird thing with the votes where, like, you only get the number of votes. Like, if you vote Jokic at forward and somebody else votes, or like 30 people vote for him at forward, 15 vote for him at center. He doesn't get the 15 votes at center. He only gets the 30 at forward. To me, it's just, I just stuck with the traditional one, but the two centers are deserving of being on the first team. No question.
I did it the same way as Zach, but like, there's not even a question. Jokic and Embiid should both be on any first team ballot. It's
and
not
that's,
even a question.
That's, and because of the understand, it just didn't sit right with me knowing that the NBA is allowing the vote like this. So like, I don't like the rule. I think we talked about it with Dello. I think they just need to restructure, make it positionless.
Sure.
Maybe, but like,
let's just get this out of the way.
I have that ability. I couldn't not vote for him.
So right. Let's just get this out of the way. Zach, if you and I were doing it the same way Joe is, we'd obviously have both on the first team, right?
Yeah.
If we all vote that way, I think we might have this all have the same exact first team.
Yeah, I would have replaced Booker with Embiid.
Booker wasn't on my first team, so.
Who was your first team, Adam?
Why don't you let Zach tell you?
Adam voted for Luka, Ja, Giannis, Tatum, Jokic. Our overall results here, the FTN NBA podcast, All-NBA first team, Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Tatum, and Nikola Jokic.
Wow.
All-NBA second team for the FTN NBA podcast, Trae Young, Ja Morant, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, and Joel Embiid. Third team, Steph Curry, CP3, Pascal Siakam, LeBron James, and Karl Anthony Towns. Others receiving votes, fellas, Bam and Rudy Gobert.
Got it. So, repeat
I'm
the
sorry, third who the hell Who the hell voted for Rudy Gobert?
Joe I said Bam half, and Rudy Gobert. I was torn. Paige got a half point.
I was torn. Because I didn't know if Bam qualifies as a forward or center on here.
Yeah. Right. That made sense to me.
So, did we please tell? I didn't miss here. Siakam made the 13, right?
Yeah, he did. He was consensus. Right. I'm pretty sure we all had a 13.
So my first team, Ja, Luka, Giannis, and Embiid, Jokic. I didn't see any other way to vote, knowing that both of them can make the first. I really didn't see any way around those five. If hypothetically it could only be one, it would have been Jokic over Embiid, which would knock Karl Anthony Towns to the third team, and I'd probably replace replace Embiid with Tatum. At the other forward spot. So curious now, I want to hear the individual like second and third teams as well. I'm like looking at my second team, regretting one of the decisions. I am. Well, I don't think I should have put Steph Curry on the second team.
I was the only one that didn't have Ja on the first team. Joe, you didn't have Booker.
That's right. Adam, I had Booker on the second team.
Neither of you guys had Booker on the first team. I was the only one.
Yep.
I guess. Adam on the second team. Yep.
But it was enough to get him there on our overall first team. Let's see, like some second team differences. Obviously, like Joe treating it positionless just skews
it a little bit.
Now Kat is on your second team. Now you've got the split at center for third team, et cetera. So I think it kind of went chalk. Like again, like the 15 guys that got on our team, there was only 17 players receiving votes for us. And I tried hard, like, cause I don't think that somebody there is a giant bobcat outside of my window. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Texas. So refocusing here. I tried hard to find somebody to put over LeBron because I really have a hard time rewarding anybody from that team, but when we get there to spot 15, I couldn't find anybody that I could legitimately put over LeBron. So he did make it in the third team for me.
I put Durant and Siakam on the third team. And Durant, like it pained me to put Durant on the third
again,
team.
Well, again, that's something
that's a game play thing.
Maybe Adam and I are there as well if we have both centers on the first team.
True. Like for
that's
me,
squeeze forward position.
Yeah.
Because you had to push Tatum to the second team, right? And maybe he would have been there anyways, but you've got DeMar in the other forward spot there. So DeMar, Tatum, KD, one of those guys is the odd man out for you when you do the double center first team. So
right, exactly. Yeah. And then because of that, like then it forces me into Tatum and DeRozan at forward on the second team. And it's just the ripple effect. Yeah. So my second team was Steph, Devin Booker, DeRozan, Tatum, Cat. I think if I redid it, I'd put Trey over Steph Curry on second team. My third team was Trey, CP3, Siakam, Durant, and then Gobert or Bam. If Bam qualifies as a center, I'd take Bam over Gobert. But I did not know at the time of doing that. I think let's take like 30 seconds and just like marvel at the basketball Pascal Siakam's been playing.
I could do that for
it's been all season, but like more granular, it's been this last month. It's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like we saw a massive spike in production when Nick Nurse rolled him out the five. Then it dipped a little bit when he moved back to a traditional forward when OG came back and they ran the starting five we thought they'd run all season. But holy cow, he's been phenomenal on both ends of the court. Like fundamentally one of the most sound players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. I love Pascal so much.
I would go as far to call him the big fundamental.
Oh, fuck you. I guess what I wanted to discuss is more probably for the playoff preview pod that I'm sure we'll do later this week. I think the Raptors are toast in the first round.
Toast?
I love watching it. Yes.
Define toast. Like they're definitely going to lose or they're going to get crushed.
I think they lose in six.
I just think they can't win. They don't have another gear. They're already like, what are we going to play in 48 minutes a night?
I mean, that's a
you know what point. I'm saying? Just like that's where with them as a team, I know I'm veering off the all NBA talk with Siakam here. I think they're screwed.
You don't trust Ken Birch to stop Embiid for 15 minutes he's on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, and like,
let's not knock Precious Achiuwa here, boys.
I just don't, again, like I said, I think with them, it's a minutes thing. Like we saw it a couple weeks ago, like with the Bucks and Sixers, that one game that you were talking about, Joe, with the Giannis block at the end was a great example of the cushion that those teams have, those caliber of teams have between regular season rotation and playoff rotation. When you take Giannis, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Chris Middleton, Drew, et cetera, from 31 minutes to 38, 39, 40 minutes a game, that team gets a lot better. The Raptors, I don't think, have that gear just because they've already been in playoff rotations for 60 games now because Nick Nurse. And also, the rumor about the Lakers, first of all, yeah, good luck. I'm sure Nick Nurse wants to go deal with that shit show.
Howard as well.
But, like, I mean, that might be more, more fitting for them just because he's going to be more of a player's coach and I think probably more of a walkover kind of figurehead. They're like, Nick Nurse, like LeBron, you really want Nick Nurse to come in there and play all your guys 40 minutes? Anthony Davis is going to get hurt in the first week.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Like Nick Nurse coming in there and playing this Lakers roster for 38, 42 minutes a game, whatever.
It would take way too – like he would have to have a complete shift in coaching philosophy to coach this Lakers team.
Yeah, there's no – it's just posturing. Let's go to all defense if y'all are ready.
Yeah, because this was fun.
I like this one. Yeah.
This one was tough.
So obviously only two all defensive teams. So less points to go around with the votes here. But our first team all defense is Drew Holiday, Marcus Smart, Mikal Bridges, Giannis, and Bam Adebayo. Our second team is Chris Paul, DeJounte Murray, Matisse Thybulle, Triple J, and Rudy Gobert.
Interesting.
Your thoughts, gentlemen?
I'm looking at mine and realize I messed mine up. So
for me, we talked about with the Bridges, how, you know, is he he probably plays more forward, but I put him as a guard to put him on my first, well, not to put him, he would have been on my first team anyway, but my first team individually was Smart, Bridges, and then Giannis and Triple J at the forward, and then Bam at the five. So I wanted to get Triple J in there. I think he deserves to be on the all defensive first team. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the consensus should be at least Smart, Giannis, and Bridges, I think, pretty easily.
Yeah, I meant to do Bridges over Bam on my first team. So that wouldn't skew anything anyways because you guys had Bridges on there. This is a situation for me, similar again, where I had to give Embiid some flowers.
Mm.
Embiid is my first team all defense center.
That's fine.
I just don't – like he needs to be rewarded for this season in some capacity. And I think him being on MVP, the first team, shut up. him being on the first team all NBA is, I don't want to say a cop out this year, but it's different because both him and Nikola Jokic are eligible now. So he's not edging anyone out there. Marcus Smart was a lock for me. So Giannis was a lock. Drew Holiday also a lock for me. Drew Holiday is a top five defender in the NBA, and you can't convince me otherwise.
I'm stunned right now. I'm taken back. Here we go. I'm stunned.
But okay, Zach. I can't even look at the screen when I'm talking because it looks. You think I'm posturing now? I mean, when I other just, players Joe, come out and get and I like
Joe.
What?
I don't. Drew Holiday, fine. Fred VanVleet over DeJounte?
Yeah.
God.
Fred VanVleet is, and I get, so the way I went about some of this voting is like, I need to reward some of these teams. The Raptors being one of them for greatly overperforming. Fred VanVleet.
Hey, man, the Spurs are about to get the playoffs. Spurs
overperform, bro. we play on Wednesday.
Not as much relative to their expectations as the Raptors did. Yeah. VanVleet is a criminally underappreciated defender. Like, you look at these opposing, well, the biggest stat I looked into last week, it was when the Rockets were playing Toronto. The drop in efficiency from three when VanVleet's on the court for opponents is like he picks up his opponent like 35 feet out, and he also like gets around screens really well. He's also a little bowling ball, like his build. I think he's like a heavy dude, but like he's not a guard that a player like a Jordan Poole can like run into. You know what I mean? Like he is a guard people have a very, very hard time getting past. So my second team was, again, I made the mistake of putting Mikal over Bam. So if Bam's a forward, it would have been VanVleet, Thibault, Bam, Jaren Jackson, Gobert. But I really just, I guess I had to put Gobert on there. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Here's an interesting stat. Deflections per game this season. DeJounte Murray, 4.0. Second in the NBA? Actually, no, first, because Derek Walton Jr. only played three games. So first in the NBA, DeJounte Murray.
Technically second, but yeah, go ahead.
Come on, Joe. Led the league in steals as well.
Right, exactly.
I understand it.
Fred VanVleet, 3.9, right behind him. So I DeJounte Murray should be ahead of VanVleet, in my opinion. But yeah, to Joe's point, VanVleet's always been like an insanely underrated perimeter defender. But DeJounte... He actually didn't make my first team because I had Bridges. Because
Drew Holiday's better.
He was on my second team, pal. So. but yeah, I mean, talking about DeJounte, like he needs to be. I know he made the All-Star
that
team. Yeah,
that may have been like full transparency. That may have been a complete oversight on my end. Because I kind of want to put him on there over Matisse, to be honest. the question before we move on, I actually have a legit question for you, Adam. I know, like, second year in the NBA next year, assuming full health, would you expect Evan Mobley to make one of these teams? Because I think, like, I think he already has. Yes. I think he's already in the legitimate conversation.
I'm not even like you guys can disagree. Totally understand. I already think he's a top 10 defensive player in basketball. I really do. Like,
okay, so wouldn't he be on one of these teams for you?
Why don't you vote for him?
What? Because it's too much. Cavs. I voted Garland as most improved. Like. And it's not even just the fact that Mobley doesn't, like, he obviously deserves it, but, like, this is where I wanted to give a lot of love to some players we haven't talked about. I have Robert Williams on my second team. Robert Williams obviously going to miss some more time. We talk about this a lot with Joe and Zach. Like, the way they use him as a free safety, it's so fun to watch. He just roams and blocks shots and deflects passes. It's so fun to watch.
Was his 10-block game this year or last year?
I think it was last year.
It was either late last year. It was late last year.
But Robert Williams, you look at some of the numbers, like contested shots, he's right up there. Actually, Evan Mobley's third. Like Evan Mobley clearly could have made this team. He's right behind Gobert and Jakob Poeltl in contested shots per game. But Robert Williams, 11.1, gets a lot of steals, gets a lot of blocks. Defensive win shares, if you are a fan of that statistic, fifth in the NBA behind Tatum. Listen to this. Tatum, Gobert and Embiid are on that. Robert Williams is fifth.
Mm-hmm.
No longer defensive liability. Nikola Jokic, number two.
The strides he's made defensively have been insane.
Mm-hmm. He's not even.
And it's very apparent.
It's not even to the point where we can say, oh yeah, he's no longer a liability. He's actually like a plus defender now. He's not elite.
I mean, he's made.
He's not even close to Joel Embiid, but he's not a bad defender by any means anymore. Correct. But Robert Williams, again, Al Horford's been a good defender. Tatum, smart. They have great defenders all around. But Robert Williams, I think, what he's done for this team defensively, the role he plays, I wanted to give him some love here. So he makes my second team, along with Matisse Thybulle, DeJounte Murray, Gobert at center, and Drew Holiday.
Okay. So now let's move on to two makeshift awards, the FTN NBA podcast awards, I guess you can say. Most disappointing player and player who returned the best. I'd say that's just the best value per dollar value for their contract.
Yeah, best contract over performer, you could say.
Yeah, yes, that's the best way to put it, because you could argue someone like a Giannis provided more value than his contract, someone like a Jokic, but like they astronomically overperformed their contracts.
Right.
So let's start with the most disappointing player. And this is not something we tallied up. We're just all going to give one. I'll start in mine. I gave myself a hard, fast rule. You can't say Russell Westbrook because, and not because I've slandered him all year, but because, like, even going into this year, I've been adamant that he is not a winning bet. Like, he's not the player you bring in if you want to win games, you want to bring your team over the top. Like, he was exactly what at least a lot of us expected him to be on the Lakers. We expected him to struggle outside of LeBron giving up control of the ball. We expected his efficiency to struggle. He doesn't try, he's not the defender he once was. So I don't think his result was as far off of his expectations as Julius Randle, who gets my vote. Yeah. Julius Randle, still average, you know, 20 points, 9.9 rebounds per game. That was a 4 point per game drop. He averaged about an assist less per game. He shot from an effective field goal percentage. He shot nearly 7% worse. He shot 41% from the field this year. He shot 30% from three after shooting 41% from three last year. So it's a disappointing season, but it's even more disappointing relative to his overperformance last season. On top of that, Obi Toppin had more 40-point, 10-rebound games than Julius Randle this year.
On top of that, like, yesterday, didn't it?
Correct. Yeah. But the stuff that doesn't show up in the box, like how many times did we see Julius Randle on SportsCenter or Twitter or something, not for a highlight, but for chirping a fan, like disrupting a player, getting a tech, like pushing around his teammates, not trying defensively, not boxing out. Like the effort level was fucking awful this season. Like he has mailed it in because he wasn't doing well. Julius Randle has been by far to me the most disappointing player in the NBA. I'll kick it to either one of you guys for who you want to talk about.
Go ahead, Zach.
My most disappointing player is James Harden. Because, you know, obviously he can still put up numbers.
What he did was very on brand this year, to be fair.
To me, he gets the nod because he let not one fan base, but two down, in my opinion so far.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't think he's been good enough, if I was a Philly fan, to really be happy with that trade. Like, obviously, getting Ben Simmons out of there, great. Every Philly fan wanted that, to my knowledge. But, like, I don't think they've seen the James Harden they thought they were getting at all. Like, maybe in short spurts, but I don't know if they've had a full James Harden experience yet, right? Like, that we know James Harden to be, right? That MVP caliber.
It was two games. It was his first game and then the second game. I forget they played. Yeah.
And so,
the Minnesota game was his debut, and they played right after that. Those were the only two games. It was like, wow, James Harden. Yeah. This is James Harden.
And then he regressed right back to kind of what he was in Brooklyn, which was just an underwhelming guy who needs the ball and doesn't do a lot else when the ball's not in his hands. And so, for me, he's the most disappointing player because he's been counted on by two franchises this season to be a key piece for a team that should be competing for a title, and he quit on the Nets. And I just don't think he's a good enough player. I won't say any more because I think if he spent the offseason, you know, doing
I don't think he cares to be the caliber of player he once was.
I don't think he has the drive of somebody like Kobe, and it's tough to compare.
Does anybody? But yeah, I know what you mean. I do understand what you're saying.
Right.
The drive is someone like Giannis.
Right. Jason Tatum. Right. Like Jason these Tatum. Guys who are the kind of the disciples of that.
Kevin Durant, I would argue, doesn't have the drive.
Exactly.
Kevin Durant. Well, yeah,
exactly. So I just think, yeah, I think he has underwhelmed in the fact that he's done it for two teams that are trying to win the title now. He got the nod.
Yeah. Adam, what about you?
We haven't really talked about this player much. We've talked about him in DFS on streams and stuff. Mike Conley has not had a good year.
Ooh.
Like, it hasn't been like, oh, Mike Conley's terrible. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is clearly Donovan Mitchell's team. But, like, with no Ingles and, you know, the depth scoring-wise they don't really have. Clarkson obviously being there helps. But, like, his numbers have been down across the board pretty much every statistic. Points per game, PER, true shooting percentage. Like, he just hasn't been as good this year. You know, he's been shooting the ball as of late a little bit better, but there are stretches where he just couldn't hit anything, right? Like 4 of 12, 2 of 12, 4 of 11, 2 of 14, 1 of 7, 1 of 8, 4 of 10, 5 of 13, 1 of 8, 2 of 9, 3 of 10, Ooh, 4 of 10, wow. 5 for 17, 6 for 14. Like, he just hasn't played as well.
Are we talking about Mike Conley or Joel Embiid?
Like, Conley's obviously not the same player he was in Memphis, but, like, I just feel like he's been a little bit disappointing. Not terrible, not like to the point where the Jazz are doomed, obviously. And it helps that they aren't relying on him. We talk like Conley's volume has been down too, but the efficiency has gone down with it. So not that he's been just absolutely dreadful, but a little bit of a disappointing year for Mike Conley, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move on to player who overperformed their contract the most. Zach, we'll start with you because I thought this was a really creative award. So we'll go Zach, Adam, and I'll round it up.
So I did not think about this when I proposed this to you guys this morning as kind of a you know, off the board category for us. I cannot put anybody over DeJounte Murray in this category. The contract that he's on, he's an all-star now. Probably should and hopefully will get another all defensive team award here. Probably second team if he gets on there. Would be his second of his young career. Guys, the Spurs are paying DeJounte Murray $15.5 million this year, $16.5 million next year, and $17.5 million the year after that. I don't think he's going to. I knock on wood. I don't think this 25-year-old guy who blossomed into an all-star this year is going to get worse in the next 2 years. So the fact that they haven't locked up at that number right now is really giving that team a chance to use their cap space this summer in creative ways, hopefully get a good draft pick or two or three if they end up using all three of those picks. I mean, he is the cornerstone of that franchise right now, and I have two honorable mentions that he barely beat out. But I don't want to say those in fear of giving away yours.
Okay. So remind me, did you say you had one of these or did you not have one?
I have one. You can go though, Joe.
Okay. Mine is Bobby Portis.
Okay. Homer Cavalier. Yeah, I love it. Man.
Guys, mine's Evan Mobley on his rookie year.
Do you know what Bobby Portis, without looking, do you know how much he's making this year?
No.
I would say $8 million.
4.3.
Wow. Was that like mid-level exception?
No. He re-signed for 2 year, $8.9 million last year. He took the pay cut to stay in Milwaukee.
That's right. He has non-bird rights. That's weird.
Non-bird rights.
Damn.
2 year, $8.9 million.
Well, he's turning that down next year, right? He's got a player option for 4.5.
I would assume so. But
I'm sorry, I just made you realize that you're losing.
I know. But I mean, seriously, like Bobby Portis has been an engine for this team. Losing Brook Lopez, he stepped up as the starting center this year on a per 36 minute basis, 18.7 points, 11.7 boards, an assist and a half, a block and a steal per game, 39.3% from three on six attempts per game, 48% from the field. I think the DeJounte call is a great call. Because relative to his contract, he's blowing it out of the water.
Yeah.
But holy cow, Bobby Portis is almost free this year for the Bucks.
That's one I didn't see and consider, and I like that one a lot. Outside of the initial, just like, of course, Joe picked a Milwaukee player. Yeah. The fact, like you mentioned, the fact that he had to fill in at center for the vast majority of the season and was good. He was good, I think, at worst, right? Like, he was replacement level at worst. And for $4 million for a team, like, he played such an important role for the Bucks to maintain this year while they went through not having Brooke and Giannis being in and out a couple times and Drew missing a few games and Middleton, you know, Grayson Allen, Pat C. Like, Bobby Portis was kind of like, for lack of a better term, I guess, like a rock for them in the front court all season, which is, you know, 2 years ago you said that about Bobby Portis. I think people would have called you crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Adam?
I lied. I don't have one because I forgot this player is on the last year of his rookie deal, so it doesn't count.
Who was it?
It was Miles Bridges.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be – you knew that was going to be Joe's, and then I added in the caveat. I'm glad you guys didn't pick my two guys. And I'm actually surprised Adam didn't get this one. One was Jared Allen, $20 million a year for a franchise-changing defensive center. And obviously on the offensive end too, a fantastic pick and roll player, has some of those like Dwight Howard dunk contest-esque dunks where they're not dunks, but he like throws it through the rim, except he's doing it in games like once every 2 weeks. And then Fred VanVleet.
I was about to say Fred VanVleet. Yep.
He's right around 19
and a half almost.
Yeah. And for like the next 3 years, I think he'll probably decline the 22.8 he has in 23-24. I think he can probably get paid a little bit more than that.
I think he can legit get paid 30.
Yeah. But, and especially I think the cap's going to continue to rise a little bit year by year. Obviously we won't see the same type of cap spikes we did when the last TV deal kicked in, but yeah, I mean, $20 million, $21 million, whatever you want to call it for Fred VanVleet, it's a pretty darn good deal there.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Looking across the board, Joe, just change it. Like, DeJounte's the answer.
$15 million for him.
$15 million for what he did this year. Come on.
And the thing too is like, it's not like he only did that when they traded Derek White, right? Like, that was a full season of all-star caliber play from Murray. I don't need to gush anymore about DeJounte. Great contract.
Great. I'm going to deny that. Great contract. And what is the FTN NBA podcast without a lot of DeJounte Murray talk? So that wraps up all the awards. That was fun, and it kind of makes me sad that we're at the end of the regular season, but
we still have plenty to talk about.
The NBA playoffs are so much fun. We'll be back shortly to talk probably after the playing games, just to preview the playoffs, maybe give some predictions. We'll find some time this week to get something going because the playing games today, Tuesday night, tomorrow on Wednesday, and then Friday, I believe, would be the other ones, correct?
Yeah, no games Thursday. So maybe we do a playoff preview on Thursday, obviously not knowing the eight seeds.
The hell are you looking at, Joe?
Dude, there's a wasp in my office. I'm like,
am I the only one without an animal around?
I say we got wildlife on the pod today. I got bobcat problems. Joe's got wasps.
It's smacking it
with my bad hat to smack it with too.
Yeah, man, you gotta keep that thing pristine.
Hey, this is the pristine one.
Oh, the championship. Yeah, so you got the finals hat. That's the one with the champagne on it and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, we'll be back hopefully Thursday to talk about the remaining playing games on Friday and a preview of the NBA first round of the playoffs. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please like, rate, subscribe to the podcast. Shout us out on Twitter. Do whatever you can to help us grow the podcast. If you haven't signed up for FTN NBA, you can do so for the rest of the playoffs. Use promo code FTNTV for 15% off of any package for any sport, especially the MLB just starting, golf in full swing after the Masters. For Joe, for Zach, for Adam, thank you for joining. This is the FTN NBA podcast. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMeds34, and at KawaisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.